of sharing the Word of God. I guess I should have worn the other mic. I will try. Forgive me, y'all. I spent too much time in Arkansas lately. One of the things that I have, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray that you would take these words that have been prepared in weakness. Lord, that you'd take them and tie them to somebody's heart that needs to know more about the greatness of salvation. That's our subject for this morning. So, Father, I pray that your Spirit would speak through me today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that I have been concerned about as a pastor in the past and as a teacher of the Word of God is the thing that I call church words. And they're words that we use often, but we don't really understand much of what they are. One example is the glory of God. Until I did a study on that, I did not understand what just the simple term glory of God meant. And there are other words that we use, too, that we have a very shallow idea of what they mean. The word salvation is one of those. A lot of times, Christians have the idea that salvation is just our sins forgiven and a place in heaven sometime in the future. But that's not true. Salvation, as we're going to see in a moment, has a beginning, and then it carries all the way through time and eternity. Salvation is not just sins forgiven and a trip to heaven. One of the things concerning salvation that we need to understand is what we lost in the fall. You're all acquainted with the fall, Genesis chapter 2 and 3, around in there. We need to understand that our relationship with God was changed drastically. Adam and Eve, who were united with God, are all of a sudden separated from him, as is evidenced in Adam's reply to God. He said, "The woman that thou gavest me." And how many of us husbands haven't used that phrase in the past? Thank you, Adam. That evidences our breaking of relationships with others. And one of the most serious things that was broken is our relationship with ourselves. Because there is not one person that has ever walked the face of the earth that has not had a problem with self-image. Now, that's kind of a bold statement, but it's absolutely true. We do not think of ourselves as we ought to think, as those who were created in the image of God. Death reigned, both spiritual and physical, came with Adam and Eve's fall. And death, that it's talking about, spiritual death, is simply separation from God. It's not a ceasing to be. It's a separation. And if we had time, we'd go into it, but we don't. Any kind of death can be defined as separation of something. Creation suffered. Romans 8:22 and Genesis 3:17 talk about creation suffering. All of a sudden, they got weeds. And Adam had to make food or get food by the sweat of his brow. I think my yard at home is a remnant of the Garden of Eden after the fall. And Romans 8:22 talks about the earth groaning to be released because of the fall. The image of God in us was not obliterated, but it was badly damaged. Our soul was damaged because that's part of where the image of God is. And that suffered a drastic blow because we don't feel about things the way we ought to. We don't think about things the way we ought to. So the image of God in us was not obliterated, but it was badly damaged. The word salvation in the Greek indicates that salvation means rescue, restoration, and healing. So I like working definitions because I make them. And I can put in them what I want. And this is my working definition of salvation. Salvation is the ultimate rescue from the devastation caused by sin, as well as restoration and healing of all that was lost in the fall, freely given to all who believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing might have eternal life through his name. That's my working definition of salvation. It's rescue, restoration, and healing of all that was lost in the fall. And that is the important thing for us to remember. I would like to go on to some of the aspects of salvation. And we can look at salvation in terms of sin. Salvation with reference to sin is this point. We are delivered from the penalty of sin. Romans 6:23. Let me get my scriptures out here. We need a bigger table up here. Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are released from the penalty of sin. Death has no longer control over us. We are released from the power of sin. I don't have to sin anymore, and that's a hard thing for most of us to get through our heads. We don't have to sin. After we become believers, to sin is a choice made either out of ignorance or just willful choice. We do not have to sin anymore. And I know I could get arguments on that, but I believe it with all my heart. And I still sin. Come on. Okay, Romans 6:23. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. That was Romans 6:7-23. For he that is dead is freed from sin, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, the next part of this is I eliminated for the most part. Do you realize that there are two doctrines that are really good at separating brothers and sisters in Christ? One of them is the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. The other is the doctrine of salvation. Because the doctrine of salvation has some things that people look at, interpret differently, the idea of God's calling, the idea of God's election, and that sort of thing. And so we're just going to skip those today. It doesn't do any good to argue about them. It's fun sometimes to argue about them. Betty's deceased husband and I used to have great discussions concerning these things to the point where Betty was wont to throw us out of the house, which was a fringe benefit. So, those two doctrines are the things that doctrinally that separate many brothers and sisters and denominations. So like I said, we're just not going to go into those today. Okay. So let's move on to the things that we can pretty well agree on. There was something planned for this moment that is not working. Jana. Ah. This white rope represents our life in Adam. Okay, you can hang up. And this represents me, with the program that is resonant in here. And as I said, I picked this off of the timeline of my life in Adam, and you notice that the direction of the line is down, indicating that my life in Adam is headed towards hell. Okay, that phone call was a wake-up call. Something was going to happen now. Have we got the picture? Oh, let me explain one other thing. This is the timeline of eternity. Okay? Notice there's a whole lot of rope laying over here, and there's a whole lot of rope laying over There's a whole lot of rope laying over there. Represents eternity. And that's going to become quite significant. Because, let me get my notes here again. I'm going to move from up here down to there. I'm one of those guys that have to have notes or I forget something. Okay. Somebody say something? Don't talk. Why not? Oh, I'm going to hear about that the rest of the day, I'm sure. That call, it was represented as a call into my heart with all the programs and everything of who that I am, okay? Now, the first facet of salvation that we're going to talk about is regeneration. That is also called the new birth, okay? That's what regeneration means, re-lifening, okay? Now, God had to do something in my heart because it said there are none who seek after God. None. Zero. Zilch. That seek after God. So God had to take some kind of an action in me before I would be able to respond to him. Okay? Because the equipment to respond to God is broken. And it needs to be repaired. So, God will come to a person and work in their heart so that the equipment is repaired, okay? It's an awakening of the spiritual life within us. And it's necessary because of the damage that was done to man in the fall. Regeneration takes man from death or separation from God to potential life or union with God. Notice I said potential because we're not there yet. Man's ability to commune with God in regeneration is restored. Now the next step is confession. God says, I got all these printed out, all these scripture verses printed out so that we don't have to take time to look them up. Okay, to confess means to agree with God. When I confess to God, when I make confession of what little faith I may have at that point, I am agreeing with God. First of all, that I'm far away from him, that I need him, that sin separates me from him. So I confess those things, and then something happens. Upon that confession, and the passage that I have for that is Romans 10:9. Oh boy, this is disastrous. Oh, thank you. Romans 10:9. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay? Isn't it simple? Isn't this God stuff so simple? So all we have to do is believe, and he takes care of the details. He works in us to work all these things out. Okay. Now, when I have confessed my need before God, what did I do with that thing? Oh, there it is. This is me again, okay? I am transferred from the life of Adam into the life of Christ. But notice one thing. The program did not change. Okay? I switched life sources, shall we say. I switched them from life in Adam, which is death, to life in Christ, which is union with Christ. I switched those things, but the program remained. Now, I know that it says that all things are new, and that new means new in time, or new in quality, not new in time, because there's two words in the Greek that indicate that, indicate newness. Okay, am I going too fast here or anything, or keeping up? Okay, but God did not wipe out the old program. He did not change my personality immediately. He'll work on that. We'll get to that. God left the program because I am certain, without a shadow of a doubt, it's one of my favorite expressions, that if God were to have removed the old program, the physical ramifications of that would have been such that it would have killed me. You know, ulcers are a thing that many times starts in the mind and works its way into the stomach because of changes that take place in the physical. And I am certain that if God would have removed the program, that the physical effects of that would have killed me. So in his grace and mercy, we have what I call the resident hangover from the old life, okay? We have the resident hangover, but we'll get to that. Okay, now, notice that this yellow rope represents eternal life. Now, life without beginning and life without end. Now look here. This is me. What does that tell you? It tells you that at this moment, you and I that know Jesus Christ, we are living our eternal life right now. It's not something that we have to die to get. Because of that transformation that was taking place, when God took me from the life of Adam and put me in the life of Christ, now, this moment, I am experiencing my eternal life. You don't get a better deal than that, folks. You don't get a better deal than that. Because I am living in the reality of my eternal life right now. Okay. Now, I am now a child of God. I am in his care. I am in his keeping. And I found a thing on the internet that says 33 things accomplished at salvation. I'm going to run through them real quick. The believer is, these you don't have to ask for or anything. These just come with a package, okay? Instantaneously. At the point of salvation, okay? The believer is in the eternal plan of God, number one. Number two, he is redeemed. Number three, he is reconciled. Number four, he's related to God through propitiation. Forgiven all trespasses, sin capacity, co-crucified with Christ. Free from the law, children of God, adopted as a son, acceptable to God by Jesus Christ, justified. Delivered from the power of darkness, translated into the kingdom of his son, of the son of his love, on the rock, Jesus Christ, a gift from God the Father to Christ, circumcised in Christ, partakers of the holy and royal priesthood, a chosen generation, a holy nation, a peculiar people, heavenly citizens of the family and household of God, in the fellowship of the saints. I have a heavenly association. I have access to God within the much more care of God, His inheritance, the inheritance of the saints, light in the Lord, vitally united to the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. That's what it means to be in Christ, in the Spirit, and in the Father. I am blessed with the earnest of the first fruits of the Spirit, born of the Spirit, baptism by the Spirit, indwelt by the Spirit, sealed by the Spirit, and filled with the Spirit. I am glorified. I am complete in Him, and I possess every spiritual blessing. That came with the package. When I confess that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that all came with the package. What a deal, huh? What a deal. Okay, there was one thing that I should have preceded here, and I knew I was going to do that. Ronnie, would you come up here, please? Would you take that and hang that? Hang that one up there for me, please. Okay, the sign doesn't show up as good as I had hoped, but oh well. Hey, ooh, you're not off the hook yet, boy. I've been feeding you for a week. You're not done yet. Okay, put that one up there if you would. Can you see it? Okay. Let's see, we got them right. Okay, justification is the point that I inadvertently skipped over. Forgive me, please. Justification is something that takes place in which I stand before God as if I had never sinned. Okay? I stand before God as if I had never sinned. Boy, am I making a mess up here. But as he which hath called you is holy, that was the wrong one. This is so embarrassing. Don't go away, I'll be right back. Okay, for he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Okay. Now, this is where it gets just a little bit complicated. There, I read someplace, and I couldn't find the reference in the book that I read it in, but there used to be a law called the law of penal substitution, okay? And what that meant was that if you had committed a crime, you could have somebody else pay your penalty. Okay? The whole Bible is premised on that because the sacrificial system was that idea of substitution. But it came to its fruition, its total meaning in Jesus Christ. The reason that I can stand before God as if I had never sinned is because Jesus paid the penalty for me that I could not pay. I was not fit for the sacrifice. To tell you the truth, a sheep was more fit for the sacrifice than I would be. Because a sheep, all it does is be a sheep. But I can willfully choose to obey the true and the living, all-powerful God. So that sheep is more qualified to be the sacrifice than I was. But Jesus came to earth, lived a sinless life, and he was qualified to pay the price. So the value of Jesus' sacrifice is sufficient for the sin of all mankind. Okay? Sufficient for the sin of all mankind. So Jesus was my substitute before the Father. The price for my sin has been paid. The penalty has been removed. I am not guilty anymore. And I stand before God as if I had never sinned. Can we all say amen to that, or hallelujah or something? And you see why I have such a burden for these things is because we need to know that, that before God, I can walk into his presence just as if I had never sinned on the basis and the value of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the greatness of justification. Okay, now we're going to skip to sanctification. Ronnie, you forgot one. We'll get it later, that's all right. Okay, we got up here, sanctification. The word sanctification, the word holy, all come from the same root word. So this is part, just like those other things are little parts, sanctification is a part of salvation. Sanctification is the here and now part, okay? It's the process in which God, now please try to catch this. It's the process in which God is making me as holy in my actions as he has already declared me to be. Because I am holy. I am a holy person. Folks, I want you to look right here. This is Saint Kenneth. That was a nasty laugh. Saint Kenneth. Saint Tony. Saint Brian. Saint Ken. Saint Nancy. Saint Betty. We do not have to have anybody vote in order for us to be declared saints. If you look at the book, many of the books of the New Testament, Paul addresses them to the saints who are at Ephesus and saints who are here, the saints who are there. So if you're reading those books and you're not a saint, you're reading somebody else's mail. Okay? Sanctification is that process where God is involved in my life and he is making me as holy in my practice as he has declared me to be legally. And holy is one of those words that we really don't know the meaning of. Holy simply means set apart unto God. That's all it means. So legally, I am set apart unto God. And in his mercy, in his love, he takes a hold of me. Sometimes even, if you know anything about the book of Hebrews, he even takes us behind the woodshed. How many have had those little trips? Danny was the first to raise his hand. Did you notice that? It says in the book of Hebrews, I think it's chapter 10, that he disciplines us. And if we're not disciplined, then we are illegitimate children and not sons. So there is a disciplining of God, a loving discipline, perfect discipline of God. This is one of the most gracious things in our salvation. God's personal intervention, based on the fact of Jesus' sacrifice and the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives, he works on us daily, personally, okay? I believe that he arranges circumstances, he arranges encounters, and all those kind of things in which he is making us to be like Jesus. Okay? He's making us to be like Jesus. And we can either get with the program or we can refuse it. We can either get with the program or refuse it. The two descriptions for holiness, one was legal holiness, That's where, just as a declaration from God, you are set apart unto me, okay? And the other is practical holiness, and that is how we are, that's how we act. 1 Peter 1:15 and 16. But as he hath called you as holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, which actually means behavior. Because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. Okay. Then, the last part. Any questions maybe on this idea of sanctification? Such an important part of our lives. I mean, God didn't just allow us into the kingdom and then just go off and leave us. He's there. He's right there in every situation where you go, including those places that you wouldn't want to take him if you knew he was standing next to you. That's such an important aspect of our salvation. Not that it's more important than any of these other things, but it is so important to realize that God is working with us now, this moment. He's doing something in us to make us to be more like Jesus. That's what he's at work doing at this point. Okay. I think we're going to make it before noon. Okay. Don't go away. There's a page of notes here that are missing someplace. Oh, well. Oh, there they are. Okay, I think, you know, that we have just about done it. So we got the discipline of God. We've got the ongoing, and one of the important ideas of sanctification is that it's an ongoing process. It starts the minute that you receive Christ as your Savior and continues until the day, the moment that you die. He's working on us, making us to be more like Jesus. So it's a lifelong process. How many of you older folks have recognized that the pressure of God does not let up through life? He said yes, in case you didn't hear that. It doesn't. God has always got work to do in us. We need to know that. We need to know that I stand before God as if I had never sinned. What a position to occupy. I stand before God, the creator of this universe, the one who loved me more than anybody else ever could, because he gave Jesus. He justified me. And then he set about to work in my life to make me to be like Jesus. What a deal. You just don't find anything better than that. The world doesn't have anything to offer that even comes close to this. And guess what else? It's free. But on the other hand, it costs you everything, right? It's free, but it costs you everything. Okay, there's one more thing here. Ronnie, I think I can probably do this one myself. I won't. Well, being as high you're up, come on. This is my grandson. We kind of skipped over that one. Okay. You got that now? What he's hanging up there is glorification. Oh. You have to watch him. He's a little sneaky. Okay, glorification. That's what we're looking for, right? Either Jesus comes back, or we go to meet him. One of the two. And this is going to be when we get to heaven, and there's no sin there, right? Jesus releases us from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, the practice of sin, and the presence of sin. Okay, those four things we are released from. And this is release from the presence of sin. Because obviously there's no sin in heaven, right? Otherwise it wouldn't be heaven. I mean, we got enough of that around here, around the earth to go around. So because I don't know a whole lot about this, I'm not going to say very much about it. All I know is that I'm going to have a heavenly body. And I've put in for one that looks just like Arnold Schwarzenegger. I know that that sounds a little worldly. I'm well aware of that. But I have always wanted bulging muscles. And instead, I've always had the kind that kind of fold over. And so I realize I'm just joking here. I hope God doesn't take me seriously. And another thing, I'm going to be able to sing. I'm going to be part of the heavenly choir. I have never, ever knowingly sung a note. If I did, it was absolutely by accident. I would not know what it sounded like if I hit a note. That's why I always sing low, so low that nobody can hear me. I'm going to be able to sing in that choir, and I'm going to stand next to Myrna, my son, sons, and my family that knows how to do this kind of stuff, and Ronnie, and we're all going to be singing around the throne. Wow! And we're all going to be able to sing. We're all going to be able to keep the tune. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord our God. Hallelujah. What a hope. What an anticipation. So I hope that today, with the little bit of fun that we've had here, I hope that we understand this word, this church word called salvation, that it's rescue, restoration, and healing of all that was lost in the fall. And one day, I'm going to stand there before God in all the glory that He created in me. All restored, able to worship, able to praise the way that I should have been doing it here. I thank God that He doesn't give up on us. He does not give up on us. He continues to work with us day after day after day. We need to be good students of the Word of God. We need to be good practicers of the things that we know that we need to do in our relationships with others, relationships at home, our relationships in the business world. We need to be practicers. You know, there's been that little statement that came up here some time ago. Actually, it originated, I think, in the 1900s or 1800s. What would Jesus do if He were here in my place? And I think that's such a good rule of thumb. What would Jesus do if He were here? God is sanctifying us to make us to be like His beloved Son. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Would you stand, please? Father, we just give you thanks today from the depths of our hearts for the greatness, for the scope, for the magnificence of that little word that we use, salvation. Rescue, restoration, and healing for all that we lost in the fall. Father, may we indeed be good students in your school. May we desire in our hearts to do things the way that you would do them, to conduct our business of life in the same manner that you do, that you would have us to do. So, Father, we would just give ourselves afresh to you today. Purpose in our hearts to get with your program of sanctification, looking forward with an eager hope for glorification and giving thanks for the fact that we are justified, that we are regenerated, that we're on the road. And Lord, make us to be travelers upon that road that are aware of each other's needs. Father, as we go into the dusty streets of Grand Rapids and its environment this day, we pray, Father, to demonstrate the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, give us somebody to speak to that needs to hear the message of salvation in all of its aspects, in all of its greatness. Now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. I understand there's refreshments back there, just like there have been for the last 2 years when I've been here.